Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We worship your name today, Lord. Hallelujah. O Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were created for him. We were made to worship God. It's the most normal thing for human beings to do, is to worship their creation. Do you know all of creation worships him? All of creation sings and worships through sound. You know, they're just, again, the scientists are discovering what the Bible's already said all along. You know, they keep rediscovering these new revelations. And again, I just encourage them to read the Bible. You know, it's already in there. Amen. How the stars actually sing, and they're listening to the sounds of the heavens and the heavenly beings, and it's just amazing. You know, what through technology, what we can discover today, which, of course, we have received and accepted by faith in God's Word. When God says something, I believe it. I don't have to have science to prove it. Amen? As a matter of fact, folks, you cannot discover God through a test tube. Amen? You're not going to know God through science, period. Science, again, was to study what God has already created. That's what the original intention of science was. And now man turned it into a means of trying to explain God away. But the more that they try to do that, the more foolish they become. Amen? That's what Romans 1 tells us, is that even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. But they became vain in their own imaginations. You know, we become darkened, you know, when we refuse the light of the revelation that God has given of himself to us. All of creation speaks of his handiwork and of the glory of God, and his awesome power and his ability. Someone had made a comment about having a struggle with pornography, and followed up by, I'm having a problem with pornography, and I'm still having a problem with pornography. So I heard this from a second party, but I thought of this. If you knew that today Jesus was coming for you, would you still have a problem with pornography? I don't think so. If we knew that Jesus Christ was going to, amen, split the clouds today and come in clouds of glory and call his church to come up hither to be with him, would we still have problems with drug addiction? Would we still be watching those shows, those questionable shows? Would we still be listening to that questionable music? Would we still be speaking the conversation that we're used to speaking? Would we be entertaining the dirty jokes? Would we be laughing at that? Would we be indulging in things that we know is not appropriate for us? I don't think so, folks. I think what's missing here is the fear of God. And the fear of God simply means I'm taking God seriously. I'm taking him seriously. He means what he says. God hates sin. Sin was the reason why Jesus suffered and died on the cross. Amen? It was our sin that required that sacrifice. There's no more excuses. You know what the excuse is now? I don't have any excuses. Amen? We don't have any excuses. We need to get our hearts right with God. We need to repent and be ready. Jesus said, I'm coming in an hour when you think not. And we need to be prepared. Folks, I want to talk today about something that I guess was brought to my attention fairly recently. It's nothing new under the sun, but I was just reminded of a situation that takes place in church, even among Christians. It's simply this, and I heard this said a while back, and I held on to it because I thought it was so good. But hear it. This is the title of today's message. You cannot learn God. You cannot learn God. And that's what I want to talk about today, because there are many who are trying to do just that. They think that if I just get another tape, another CD, I just listen to another sermon, I just read another Bible, you know, book of the Bible, that I'm going to learn God or somehow I'm going to know God. There's a big difference between knowing about God and having a revelation of who He is. You cannot be saved until you've had a revelation of who He is and who you are. You see, when we have a glimpse of His holiness and the revelation of that, and then we begin to see ourselves in light of His holiness, we come under what's called conviction. We all become guilty before God, and we realize that we're in trouble and that we need to get free from this burden of sin. Anybody been there? Frantically wanting to be free from this guilt and this shame and this heaviness. And so many people do not know how to do that. In fact, there are many people in church that don't know how to do that. Even though they may have listened to many, many messages and heard and can quote Scripture. Well, the devil can quote Scripture. Two things need to come together, folks. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. And there are those who pursue a spiritual journey and an encounter with God, but have no concept through the Word, the written Word, who God is. And we can get into error. On the other side, we have people who are pursuing God simply through the letter of the law or the written Word, and they have not known the person. And eternal life is in knowing the true God. It's not about knowing about Him, it's knowing the true God. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent." And Jesus came to present the heart of the Father to us. Under the law, the Pharisees were used to the letter, and they could quote Scriptures better than anybody. They memorized the first five books of the Bible, and they read from the law and the prophets, and yet they did not have the substance, which was Christ. And the same thing is happening today in much of the church world, where there are people who have lots of theology, a theological concept or understanding, but they don't have the substance, which is Christ. And without Christ, you have no life in you. And as a matter of fact, a person who knows a lot of Scripture who does not have the Spirit is actually a danger. They will destroy people with that. Because the Spirit gives life. Jesus said, "These words I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life." When Jesus spoke, He spoke by revelation from the Father. What He was revealed to Him, He spoke. What He heard, He spoke. What He saw, He did. And you cannot worship God. Listen. Truly worship God until you have a revelation of who He is. I want to talk about that today. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's take a look at that in verse 17. Most of us can quote this. We're very familiar with this prayer of Paul to the church at Ephesus. Now keep in mind, folks, that every one of us is a worshiper. Mankind is a worshiper. We all worship something or someone. But it's only possible in the Spirit for us to truly worship God. And so he said, this is his prayer. Look at verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." You know, that word apokalypsis, which is the same word you see in the book of the Revelation to John. Remember? And really, the book of Revelation is not a revelation. It's a revealing, really, of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of Jesus. And so his prayer was that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And that means to uncover. It means something that is hidden to be exposed or revealed. So He's praying that our eyes, if you will, the eyes of our spirit or our hearts would be opened, that we can see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need to see God, folks. And you can only see God through revelation of who He is. I'm not talking about with your eyes. I'm talking about with your spirit. Perceiving, understanding, knowing Him experientially as who He is. And not some false concept of God that we have adopted that fits our lifestyle. But knowing the true God. We need to truly know who God is. Amen. There are many representations of God today, but there's only one Holy Spirit who can truly reveal who God is. Amen. And so we have to be careful, because many people have a concept of God that is not true. And any concept of God, any view that we have of God, hear this, that is not in agreement with what is true, is idolatry. Is your God the true God of heaven? Is the God that you claim to follow and that you proclaim to others, is He the true God of heaven? Or is He a God that we kind of adjusted to fit our lifestyle? That's idolatry. Is it making you think today? I hope so, because it makes me think when I think about this. And you know, there's a healthy reverential fear of God, of His holiness, and that His name is not to be tampered with, His word is not to be tampered with, and His nature, His character is not to be tampered with. If we're going to represent Him, we better be representing Him correctly. And I understand that when I stand up here and I share with you, I need to see God, I need to know the true God, and I need to represent Him accurately, because I will give an account. And so will everybody. Some people have a God who is harsh and controlling and is just waiting for you to mess up so He can beat you over the head. That's not God. God is holy, and so His holiness requires holy living from us. But God is love. And out of love, God gets angry because He loves us so much. You ever get angry with your kids because they mess up? Amen? Because we love them so much. But God is love, and God loves us. He loves His creation. You cannot learn God. You cannot learn God from a book, a CD, amen? You can't even go to Bible school and learn God. You can learn about God. But in order for us to truly know God, He has to be revealed to us. It has to come by revelation. Revelation is received through His Holy Spirit that He has given unto men. And the problem I see is so often that people are worshiping the letter, if you will, and they are worshiping the book rather than the God of the book. And Jesus warned us, He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the teachings of the Pharisees. They had no spirit in them. In John 16 and verse 12, Jesus said to His disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will do what? Verse 14, glorify Me. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. We cannot know Jesus. We cannot see Jesus except by the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. And He was talking to those who were not ready for some of the things that He was wanting to share with them, but they were just not ready for it yet. Do you understand that God has to get us ready for revelation? God has to bring us to the end of ourselves. God has to humble us in our pride. God has to do some stuff in our lives to get us into a place where now we're humble and we're willing to yield and we're willing to listen and we're willing to really find out what God is really like. We're ready for revelation when we've been broken and when we're humbled before God. And then when we get the revelation of who God truly is, we begin to discover who we are. We were made in His image, in His likeness. James said, "What is your life? But it is a vapor. It appears for a short time, and it's gone." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Our worship, I want to talk about worship, it's a response to divine revelation. You can offer praise without God. Did you know that? We can hoot and holler and praise without God. People do it. People copy whatever other people are doing around them. They just kind of join in. It's a sing-along, whatever, a praise-a-thon. And they offer praise to God, but you can do it without God. You can do it in God or without God. You can praise. Praise is simply talking about who He is and His greatness, His majesty, His awesomeness. God, you're amazing. You're holy. You're righteous. You're faithful and true. We praise God. But worship is impossible without God's presence. You see, you can praise from a distance, but worship is up close and personal. And sometimes what we call worship is not worship at all. Because we're basically just kind of grooving. We get into the beat and the groove. Or my favorite Christian artist and Christian song, we just kind of like, well, that's great. We're worshiping. No, you're not. You can't worship until you have a revelation of who He is. It goes beyond the intellect. It's a knowing in your heart who He is. And I want to talk a little bit more about that later on. So true worship flows out of revelation of who God really is. Look at John chapter 4, verse 19. John chapter 4, verse 19. Now remember, this was the situation where the woman was at the well, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus had gone contrary to their culture and their customs, and He broke out to talk to this woman who was basically a Samaritan, was half Jew and half whatever else, Gentile, and they were called half-breeds, and they were not to have any associations with these half-breeds, and yet what Jesus did is He went to the half-breed, amen? Thank God He's a God of the underdog, right? Amen. God loves us all. God came for His creation. He's not willing that anyone should perish. So Jesus went out of His way to meet this woman at the well. And after a short time, you know, Jesus turned the conversation from the water in the well to living water. And He began to give her, by revelation, a little history lesson about her life. And she'd been with five men. She'd had five husbands. And the guy she was with at the time was not her own husband. And so let's take a look at what He said here. In verse 19, and the woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." He was reading her mail. In verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." What's it talking about? She's talking about geographic locations. Some people think you have to go to a geographic location to worship God. The truth is we worship God in spirit. Amen? And we are to assemble together and we are to have corporate worship, but we worship God from our own hearts. Amen? Wherever we find ourselves. You don't have to come to church to do it, but God wants you in church. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Now listen to what He said in verse 22. "You worship what you do not know." Is it possible for people to worship what they don't know? Is that true worship, though? No. We know what we worship, he said, for salvation is of the Jews. You know, people worship idols in ignorance, thinking that they're worshiping God. People bow down to statues, right? Or things that they formed. Or they worship idols in their own hearts, in their own imaginations, their own twisted concepts of God, you know, based upon tradition or their life growing up or whatever. But there is one true God revealed to us by His Holy Spirit through the Word. And so what many people call worship is not true worship. And now this woman had heard about Jesus. Because what did she say? Look at this. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So the woman said to Him, verse 25, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Do you understand, folks, this happens today where Jesus is in our presence and we don't discern Him. And she had heard about the Messiah. She had heard about Jesus, but she did not know Jesus yet. It begins with hearing about. But you cannot know Him until He gives you a revelation. Until He unveils your eyes and reveals Himself as the Christ. And so what did she do? She's blown away. This guy read her mail. He knew everything about, and I who speak to you am He. And what did she do in verse 8? She left her water pot. Remember Jesus said, hey, those who drink this water will thirst again, but those who drink of the water I shall give them shall never thirst. What did she do? She left her water pot. What did she leave it for? She exchanged her water pot, amen, a jar for the fountain of living waters. You know, some people, folks, they're just coming to church to get a little water. Are you hearing me? And then there are others who have come to a revelation of Jesus, who have understood that God has called us and desires for us to worship in spirit, to know Him intimately, up close and personal. And to know that we have access 24/7 to the living water. Amen? Inexhaustible supply of God's Spirit, His presence, to keep us strong and refreshed and renewed. Daily, it's available. You don't have to wait till Sunday to get it. Thank God. We have access now. Amen. Unfortunately, some people are just like that. They get their water pot filled on Sunday and then it leaks out the rest of the week and then they crawl back maybe the next week to get another dose. I believe it's important that we're together and there's a special blessing when we're together. Jesus said, when two or three gather, I am there. He's with us today. Are we discerning that? Do we recognize Him? Do we see the Lord? Has He been revealed to us, or do we just kind of know about Jesus? We're getting to learn about Him. Folks, I don't want to just learn about Jesus. If, you know, I'm just learning about Jesus, it's all in vain. If I don't know Him, if I don't have Him, I don't have life. There are what we could call intellectual Christians who are very well versed and very well studied up and read all kinds of books and commentaries and know their Bible backwards and forward, but they're void of any life. Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Where's the love? What is legalism anyways? Legalism is loveless devotion. It's loveless devotion. It's a tradition. It's a thing you do. God didn't come to give us a thing to do. He came to present Himself and reveal Himself to us so that we could know Him. He wants to reveal Himself to every one of us here. She left her water pot, and what did she do? She became an evangelist. You, when you have a revelation of Jesus, something happens inside of you where you want to start telling people about Jesus. Come on, right? When you see Jesus, and maybe you haven't seen Him for a while, you need to get a fresh glimpse of Jesus, amen? And you'll start talking about Jesus again. You need a revelation. We don't need another sermon, we just need a revelation from God, amen? And the sermons are here to point us to Him who is able to open our eyes and our understanding to know Him. Unless you have a revelation of the object you worship, your worship is in vain. Jesus says you worship what you do not know. If we can know Him, then we can truly worship Him. Sometimes, folks, that's why a person's heart is never moved, even in a gathering. When the Spirit of God is moving, their heart is not moved because they have not had a revelation yet. You cannot have a revelation of who God really is and not worship Him. You may have a theological concept and an idea and know about a little bit about Jesus and about God and about holy things and be able to quote Scripture, but until you have a revelation of who God really is, you really cannot worship, and you won't. And yeah, I know, and thank God it's not here, but there are people who are putting on the act in the show, and sometimes they're the loudest, they jump the highest, you know, they shout the loudest, and they're just playing. Amen? And again, you can praise without God. But you cannot worship without God. God wants to bring us into a place where our lives are worship to Him. Which is not something we do, but it's a way that we live every day. It's how we walk. What some people call worship is basically shouting, preaching, singing, the best in Christian entertainment, right? Programs, skits, nothing against these things. But sometimes people think that that is worship. Are you hearing me? In other words, it's an object that's being worshipped or a thing that is being worshipped, but not the God of the thing. We sing unto the Lord. We sing and make music unto the Lord. It's biblical. It's scriptural. We should be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Amen? We are to come before His presence with singing. Singing unites our hearts. But we can do all that, and the songs or the feelings that we get, are you hearing me? The emotional rushes we get can be the object of our worship and not God Himself. Is this making sense? I want a revelation of who God really is because I want to authentically worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why He said in truth. What is it? Who is He really? Who is God really? Revelation gives you a response that is true worship. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you're sitting and you're listening to preaching, and all of a sudden, God gives you revelation. You're getting revelation today, too. There's a few amens. It's an automatic thing. There's a response. If you're getting the revelation, there's worship in the revelation. Unless, of course, we're just doing it out of habit. And I've been in a few places like that. You can say something foolish, and they're going, amen, amen. Because they're not listening anymore. They're just on autopilot. You can always find out if they're listening or not. Say something dumb, right? And if they get an amen, you know who's listening. We really need to have the I am God, revealed to us so we can know who we are worshiping. So we're not just worshiping the beat, you know, or the ceremony. In some places, people are very ceremonial, you know, and they call that worship. That's not worship. Lighting candles, you know, holding crosses and walking down the aisle. That's not worship, and that's not even biblical. The true worshipers will worship the Father, Jesus said. He's the expert. And I think God's the expert, amen? In spirit and in truth and in reality, he's saying. True worship. In John 5:39, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me." You understand, folks? Some people worship the object of the Scriptures rather than the God of the Scriptures revealed to them. Yeah. I heard somebody say one time, some people, it's Father, Son, and Holy Bible. No, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Bible, these words, amen, were written by holy men, moved by God. And the revelation of God is here in word, in logos. But we need the rhema. We need God revealed to us through the written word. If all we're doing is getting more knowledge and information, but we're not having an encounter with God, if we're not receiving revelation from God, it's all in vain, and you become a Pharisee. The Pharisees were experts of the law, but had no spirit. They had no love. They had no life. And I've listened to too many messages where there was no spirit, there was no life, but there was all kinds of information. Well placed, everything theologically correct, but void of life. Oh God, I want life. I want to know Jesus. I don't want to just know about you. I really want to know you. God, give me revelation. I hunger and I thirst for the revelation of who you are. I want to know you, Lord. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. You're my life. God is not impressed about how much we know. He's not impressed by how much we know the Scriptures. God wants us to know Him by revealing Himself to us. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. Isaiah the prophet had this vision of God. He was sitting on a lofty throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. If you would just let me read it to you and think and get a picture of this. Attending him were mighty seraphims. Each had six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Do you understand, folks, that they, in God's presence, God is so holy that even though they were without sin, they also covered their faces in his presence. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. And then said I, "Oh, it's over. I am doomed. I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." What happened? Isaiah had a revelation. Isaiah had never seen God like this before. And it wasn't until he had a revelation of who God really was that he became aware of his true condition, his sinfulness, and his need to be free, to be cleansed. And God, in his mercy and his grace, cleansed his sin, purged his sin with a coal from off the altar. Because Isaiah confessed, "I'm a man of unclean lips." And God says, "I'm going to take care of that, Isaiah, because I'm going to use you. But you had to have a revelation of me before you can be used of me." Do you understand? Sometimes we're trying to serve God, we don't even know who we're serving. We're trying to worship a God we don't really know. We haven't had the revelation of who He really is. He's just some of the man upstairs, the God up there. No, we need to know who God is, and He's revealed to us through the Word, but by the Holy Spirit in the Word together. I want to say this too, folks. Through trials, we have a revelation of God. We're able to receive a greater revelation of God through trials. It causes us to go deep. It causes us to seek Him. It causes us to cry out to Him. It causes us to inquire and to find out, God, why? But you know, folks, I believe that once we see and we begin to see God more clearly as to who He really is, the questions become fewer. I don't need to know. God is so immense and so amazing and so awesome and so beyond what my little pea brain can comprehend that I'm not going to be able to comprehend or even handle all the answers. Are you hearing me? But what God wants me to know, He will reveal through His Spirit. And when I begin to see how good His heart is, because I'm coming to know the true God. Even if I don't understand why it happened to me, why this God? I see His heart. His heart is good. God's heart is so good. His heart is so pure and so holy. And He's righteous in all of His ways, and everything He does is righteous. It's right. It's best. And He loves us with an everlasting love. I don't understand things that happen, but I know God is good. And I'm having and receiving more revelation of God's goodness. So I don't have to have all the answers. I trust my Father's heart. Whether I know the answer or not, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I trust His heart. He's God is good all the time. Job, in chapter 42 of Job, verse 5, he said, I, Job, had only heard about you before, all his trials, all that he went through, all the losses, all the misery. And then at the end, he concludes, he says, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. He had a revelation of who God really was. Not some twisted concept in his own mind and his imagination, some idolatrous God, but he got to know and see who God really was. And listen to what he says. I take back everything I said. All my snibbling and questioning, I'm taking it all back. And I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. You understand, folks? There's one thing about hearing about God, is another thing seeing God by revelation. We need to see God for who He really is. Some people are always studying, but they never come to a true knowledge of the Lord. That's 2 Timothy 3:7. You cannot learn God. He can only be known through revelation. Sometimes we're good at offering people pat answers, quick advice, you know, that's rooted sometimes in our knowledge of God or about God. But what people really need is the revelation of God through the Holy Spirit. If you and I are going to be instruments in God's hands, we need to get revelation from God, and we need to be a vessel that the Spirit of God speaks through. Amen? Because when God speaks, it's spirit and it is life-giving. But if we're just speaking from our intellect, from intellectual knowledge of God, based upon Bible studies and pattern answers we learn from some book or CD, we can hurt people when we're offering them quick advice, but it's not advice that the Spirit of God is giving in that hour, in that time. A word that is spoken in due season. How good it is. Have we been there? Have we been in the place where we needed to hear from God? We needed a word from God, and God raised up someone and sent them your way, and they spoke a word in season, and it brought life and hope. It is impossible to worship God without revelation. You know, another thing, folks, sometimes people want help, but they don't want to know the God who can help them. There are many people who come to church just because they want help, but they really don't want to know the God who can help them. And so they depend on other people to fill that void in their life. And they can never be satisfied in that until they have a personal revelation of God. Until they see God themselves. And the pure in heart are the ones who will get the revelation. The pure in heart are the humble. The ones who realize they can't do it. They don't know. The babes are the ones who will say, I don't have all the answers. I don't know. I know very little. I've been studying for 20-something, 6, 7 years now, and I still know so little. You understand? Because God's God. How else do you say that, right? He's just God, and his ways are beyond what we can fully comprehend. But what God wants us to know, He will reveal by His Spirit. We sing that song, Open My Eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Let's just sing that together. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him. To reach out and touch. And say that I love Him. And say that I love. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. You cannot exalt what is unknown. You cannot love someone that has not been revealed to you. We can say, Jesus, I love you, but you cannot love Jesus until He has been revealed to you. You cannot truly worship Jesus until He has been revealed to you. When I met my wife, I'm going to pick on her again, I was attracted to her, but it wasn't love at first sight. There's no such thing. How many have bit off on that apple, right? Oh, it was love at first sight. No. Yeah. Well, there's an attraction, amen? And we were attracted, but it wasn't love at first. But I want you to know that love is something that develops through a revelation of who that person really is. And how lovely that person truly is. You will love God as you discover how good He really is and how lovely He really is. Come on. Through a revelation of Himself, we can truly say, Jesus, I love you. And when we're in that place of intimacy and worship in the holy place, all you can say is, God, you're awesome. God, you're wonderful. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's no one like you. No one like you, Lord. As we have a revelation of who He is, then we can truly worship Him for who He is. Now, when Paul was at Athens, he was at Mars Hill in Athens in Acts chapter 17. And look at verse 16. I'm going to read it. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Bounce forward to verse 21. For all the Athenians And the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Some of our churches today, right? Some new thing. Come on. What was wrong with the old thing? God hasn't changed, amen? Why are we changing? Or why are we trying to change God to fit us? It's supposed to be the other way around. We are to be conforming to His image. And so they were learning some new thing, and Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." That's the problem, isn't it? We get religious. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing," or King James says, "in ignorance." In other words, you're worshiping in ignorance. "Him I proclaim to you." What was he doing? He says, listen, you have some concept of God, but it's in ignorance. It's not a true concept, or you have not actually had the revelation yet. So I'm here to explain through revelation that I received to you this same God. He's the Creator. And by revelation, they were able to see God. You see, when we speak the word by the Holy Spirit, it brings revelation, and we begin to see Jesus as He really is. Amen? And when we begin to see Jesus as He really is, it produces automatic response in our hearts to worship. That's why sometimes it's not prompted you to say, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because it's a response to the revelation of life to you. Your heart responds to life. We were created for Him. And it's the most normal thing for mankind to do is to praise and worship His God. Now, those who rely on their own reason often reject the revelation of God because they cannot receive the things of God naturally. Natural man does not receive the things of God. That's why when Jesus showed up and He spoke to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who were the ones who were teaching everybody else about the Messiah shows up and they didn't know who He was. They didn't have a revelation. And so when Jesus shows up and He unveils your eyes and you begin to see Him, the automatic thing is for us to respond back with what? With worship. And people that are relying on their own understanding or their own reason, they often reject the revelation of the Spirit. Folks, I see it in churches. I go into churches and I mingle around what they call themselves Christians, and they've got all kinds of Bible knowledge, but when I start to speak by revelation, by the Spirit of God, they think you're speaking heresy. Why? Because they have not received that revelation and are not understanding it. And to some, because they're puffed up in their own pride based upon all the knowledge that they've accumulated, and they pride themselves in how much they know, and because they have an arrogant spirit, God refuses to give them the revelation. And they end up becoming enemies of the cross. They'll end up talking against you when you speak by revelation. You see, it was the religious leaders that were consulting together to get rid of Jesus. And the same thing is true. If you are a true follower of Jesus and you walk in the revelation and you truly know Him and you walk with Him, you will suffer persecution even from those who claim to be Christians. Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, "My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the..." And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Oh. Paul to the Galatians, Galatians 1:13, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." There's religion. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to do what?" In verse 16, "to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. "Peter, how did you know that I was the Christ?" It wasn't flesh and blood. Amen. It was my Father in heaven that gave you the revelation of who I am, that he was the great I am, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. The word that became flesh. Oh, hallelujah. And then who does God reveal himself to? Well, he reveals himself to the babes. We started with that. Look at this in Matthew 11:25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes." In other words, God does not give revelation to the proud and the arrogant and to the people who think they know it all. But he gives it to the people who know they don't know and are willing to humble themselves. "Teach me, Lord. Show me, Lord. I'm not all that." You see, the Pharisees thought they knew it all. And Jesus told them, he says, "Listen, because you guys say we know or we see," he said, "therefore your sin remains. There's no hope for you guys until you humble yourself and realize you don't got it. You may know about me, but you never had the revelation of who I am. And until you have a revelation of who I am, you will never be a true worshiper of God." I hope you understand I love you enough to tell you these things. Because I want to make sure that, you know, first of all, that it's right with me and my God. I always first, I'm preaching to myself. I'm always saying, "God, what about me? Come on. I can't do a thing without God. I'm nobody without him. And I need to depend on him just like everybody else here. We need to lean on the Lord, not trust in our own wisdom, our own ability, not be proud because we know something or we think we know something. It's not about accumulating more information so we can get into a debate. Amen? A biblical debate. The Spirit is not contentious. Amen? We are not to grieve the Spirit of God. And there's certain conversations, if we sense that they're going in a direction where they shouldn't go, and people are beginning to get argumentative and contentious, folks, change stations. Yep. Change stations, get off of it, amen? It's unproductive. What we need to know is, we need to know God in the Spirit by revelation. The early church, folks, they did not have the Bibles like we have today. It was given by revelation and by spoken word often. As they heard the word, it produced faith in their heart. And their eyes were opened. They were enlightened by the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul prayed that our eyes may be opened, the eyes of our understanding, that we may know the true wisdom of God, and that he would reveal himself to us. So we're just not deceived, thinking we know when we don't really know. In true worship, requires God's presence. Who does God reveal himself to? The babes. Who are the babes? The repentant, the broken, the honest, the hungry, the humble, the poor in spirit. These are the babes. These are the ones that God gives his revelation to. And it irks the people who are proud in their own understanding. Are you hearing me? Who are arrogant in their own minds and thinking, "I'm an expert. You understand how many degrees I have? I'm the expert here." And then someone who God scraped off the sidewalk like myself or you, some of you, maybe not quite that bad. He says, "I'm going to raise this lady up right here. I'm going to put my spirit in her. And I'm going to confound the wisdom of the wise through her. I'm going to give her a revelation of who I am. And God's going to use the common vessels, amen, to do, or what we say, the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And so if you think that you're somebody, become nobody so you can become somebody. I know the Holy Spirit's been ministering to us. He's bearing witness with my spirit today. And Lord, I just thank you so much for allowing me to see what I can see. But Lord, I want more. I want greater revelation of who you really are. God, I don't want to be deceived, and I don't want to worship an idol or some other god of my own making. I want to know you, the true and living God. So, Father, I ask you to open our eyes. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, God, through the truth. God, you said the truth would set us free. Set us free from every lie and every deception and everything that the enemy is trying to get us to believe that is not true. But God, I pray in Jesus' name. Release your spirit now, God, I pray. Break off, Lord, the yokes of oppression off the people today in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you remove the scales from our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we will begin to truly know you. And as we have seen you, we will be able to worship you in authentic worship, God, in the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we love you. We praise you. We magnify your name today. Hallelujah. Fill us with your holy fire, Lord, and send us out in the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of boldness, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, a highway for our God, for the Lord is coming. Prepare your hearts to meet the Lord. Hallelujah. God, send us out in the power of your anointing, we pray. In Jesus' name, that we will destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. That we will heal the sick and cast out demons and proclaim the coming kingdom. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep every one of you in his peace. Shalom. Peace of the Lord to you. Hallelujah.